We're pausing our God of the Exodus series. We'll come back to that in the new year. And I figured, having celebrated the week of Thanksgiving, it would be fitting for us to hear a word on Thanksgiving. So let's hear the word of the Lord now from Psalm 100. It begins, it says, "A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Amen. This is God's word for us this morning from the 100th Psalm. I invite you now to ask you please to pray with me, and let's ask for God's help together in hearing his word and receiving it. Father in heaven, we do continue to bless your name this morning. Thank you for each one who is here. Thank you for what we represent together as a whole. We are thankful that you've made known yourself to us in the very words of Scripture. And we pray now that you would soften our hearts to hear what you have to say to us through the Bible. We want to see Jesus more fully, our Savior, our risen Lord. And we want to be reminded that we have reason to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. O Lord, may your grace so rest upon our hearts and minds as we consider Jesus for this brief time now, that we would depart from here with gratitude being the sincere attitude in our hearts. We ask for this, Lord, knowing that you're able to do it. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, what we have before us in the 100th Psalm is the Lord's Thanksgiving invitation. It's the Lord's Thanksgiving invitation. You probably got invited to maybe mom and dad's house or to your children's house, hopefully. It's kind of nice when that comes back around and the kids start cooking for you. But I want us to consider that at this time of year, of all the other times, we can't pass up that the Lord has also given us a Thanksgiving invitation. And you know, we're always receiving invitations. It's for holidays or birthdays. Maybe if you volunteer with different organizations, you get an invitation, or someone is fundraising for something, you get an invitation to take part in someone's fundraiser. It might come by a personal invitation. Somebody you know invites you to come along with them, or you get an email or a text, or if somebody actually sends you a card, if anybody sends those anymore, we receive invitations in all sorts of ways. They say, here's the purpose of the party, here's the place, here's where the party's going to be, and at the bottom it says, your presence is requested. I remember when my wife and I prepared to be wed together in matrimony, we sent out invitations telling people, your presence is requested on October the 14th, 2011. Glad I remember that off the top of my head. A lot of pressure. And I asked people to join us. I said, we want you to participate in this celebration. And so we're always receiving invitations, but that means we're always responding to them as well. We have to make the decisions where we check yes, we click, we text back, we pick up the phone, we respond, we say, yes, I'll be there, or we say, you know, maybe, which is our nice way of telling somebody, don't bet your life on it. I'm not going to be there, right? Or my favorite thing at getting married now is being able to tell people, let me check with my wife, and I'll get back to you. It's just my code word way of saying, I want to tell you no right now, but I care about you so much, I can't bring myself to tell you no, so let me check with my wife, right? But by the way that we respond to invitations, by the invitations we make time for, and by which invitations we therefore turn down, we reveal who and what is going to be filling our lives. You can tell a lot by the invitations that we respond to and don't respond to. It's revealing who and what we make time in our lives for. Now, I say all that to say, when we look at Psalm 100, there in our Bibles or in your listening guide, or what we just read on the screen, Psalm 100 is itself an invitation. And it is in the form of a song. All the Psalms are songs of praise. If it was in olden days, this would be like a singing telegram, where somebody would arrive and they would sing to you. Or does anybody get like those singing cards? on your birthday. My mom loves to get me a singing card. And I got one year, he opened it, and it played Sweet Home Alabama. You know, it had like, and it's amazing the amount of sound you can get in that card. And I like to keep the card off to the side, and I like to just open it over and over. You know, just that catchy, close it, open it again. You know, it's just like a singing card. Mariana loves the same thing. She'll sit there just for, you know, almost an hour just playing with the card, you know. And the Bible, Psalm 100 in particular, is like a singing invitation. It was a song that is composed. That's why it's in the form of poetry. Many of these songs are meant to be sung by the gathered people of God. So don't miss this morning. This is how awesome the Psalms are. The Psalms are the word of God to man in order that it might become the words of man back to God. They're the word of God to man written here that they might become our words back to God. Sometimes we say, I don't know what to say to God. And you can open the Psalms, and it's literally songs of praise, songs of prayer, and we can speak these very words back to God. The grace of God goes this far that he even wants to give us the words to take back to him and the words to take to each other. It's wonderful. It's like God is the parent in his household saying, now talk, this is the right way to be kind and respond. This is the right way to talk to your brother and sister. This is how we treat others. You do this before you go to any party. Well, the Lord is doing the same thing for his people. Now, Psalm 100 is a little bit of distance between us and the original writing of it, obviously. It's written thousands of years ago. It was originally to be sung by ancient Israel. They were singing this song in the place of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And it was for to a gathered people. It was believers, not only who were ethnic Jews, but believers from the nations are here. We've read that in these verses. They were to join in giving thanks, not to God as they thought of him, but to the one Lord God. Yahweh is what capital Lord stands for here. The God who had revealed himself as I am who I am. The God of Abraham, who made a covenant to bring blessing to the world through the offspring of Abraham, the God of Israel, who had formed this nation out of nothing, and freed them from slavery. And this is the God, ultimately, of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God. So Psalm 100 is still our song as Christians to be sung today. Christ is descended from Abraham, the one to whom all those promises have been made to bring blessing to the earth. So we sing songs like these when the church is gathered together. Do you realize this morning that the place in which this song is now sung, the place in which it is called for, there's an invitation to give thanks to the Lord, is whenever the people of God are together. Because it is the people of God in whom his presence is made known. As Christ says in other verses, but where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. It's representational. But Christ is also present with his people. We sing this together as the Lord's people. We are the place of the Lord's presence as followers of Jesus Christ. We sing this not only to one another, but as an announcement to all the people of the earth that the Lord has an invitation to know him as God, to know that Jesus Christ is God. I heard a wonderful sermon from Truth for Life from Alistair Begg the other day. You know, Jesus Christ clearly professed himself to be the Son of God in the flesh, no less, but co-equal with God. No one else makes claims that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No man says those things. Only the God-man, Jesus Christ, could say those things. I am the way to God. And so the Christian church, you and I are actually to sing this song as well to the nations, to the whole world, to find salvation from God and the grace of Jesus cross. We tell others there is life in this servant king, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who takes away sin by the blood of his cross. Jesus is the one who can turn suffering into victory. Jesus is the one to whom we surrender our lives to in faith. Not looking for God up in the clouds or looking for God somewhere inside or looking for God out here in our circumstances, but looking for God in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who has come to us. So I just want us to see that the Psalms then, they're a picture of the Christian faith. They're showing us the blessed man who is giving thanks to the Lord. But the Psalms are also pointing us to the Christ of faith. It's a picture of Christian faith. The Psalms are pointing us to the Christ of faith, the God who came for us. And then today, where its relevance really meets us, they're promoting for us the conduct of the Christian faith. What am I to do as one who knows God through Jesus Christ? The answer is, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So, how does the Lord do this for us in this thanksgiving invitation? Well, we get an expansive invite. We get an expansive invite to give thanks to the Lord. You see that there, don't you, in verses 1 and 2? If you look there, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Notice with me how big this invitation is. When God sends this invitation out, it's like he hits select all. You know, God's looking at the contact list, and he didn't pick out a few for his Thanksgiving invitation. He hits select all and says, all the earth, you have reason to come worship me. And, you know, I find that relevant because I don't know about your world, about the circles you run in, about the people you interact with on a day-to-day situation, maybe even around your family table this past holiday. But the world that I live in, I meet a lot of people whose hearts are seeking to edge God out of life. They live their day-to-day existence thinking that there is no God, or if there is one, he doesn't care about what's going on down here, and I've got nothing to really be thankful for. Thankfulness tends to be a really rare trait nowadays, where people spend time appreciating what they have and who's in their life. And many of the people I interact with believe there's no God, and they don't have much to give thanks for. And this psalm is countercultural. It tells a different story, and it says, no, there is a God, and you do have things to be thankful for. Not just common things that are common to man, but you have things to give thanks for to God. And so God is engaging our hearts in worship that we should serve him with gladness, not ignore him like an uncle we only see once a year, but we serve him with gladness. And I notice, too, how exuberant the expression is. Look at the words used in this. Shout for joy to the Lord. Come, serve him with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. I mean, this isn't it. The heart is engaged in giving thanks to the Lord. You know, I thought I knew how to sing happy birthday until I watched Beth throw a birthday party for somebody. This is while we weren't even dating yet. We were friends. A friend of mine named Sarah was having a birthday. We were holding it at the pie and ice cream kitchen, and it was kind of like, well, we're all gathered here, and everyone's really excited about the pie and ice cream, and, you know, oh, yeah, our friend Sarah's here. We should probably sing happy birthday. And we're kind of this disorganized blob of people in this, you know, in this pie and ice cream kitchen, and we're like, happy birthday. You know, people aren't on tune, and Beth stops everything, and she says, whoa, whoa, whoa. She gets up, and she stands up on a chair, and she says, okay, everybody, ready? 1, 2, 3, and leads the whole thing, and then we started a rousing, you know, happy birthday chorus to our friend Sarah, and I thought, now that's a proper birthday wishing. And I think, similarly so, when we come to the scriptures, you know, what I think thanking the Lord is, what I think telling God thank you is, what I think serving him with gladness looks like, it needs to be expanded in light of this passage of scripture. Rarely ever is our thanksgiving to the Lord never in need of inflating again, of reinforcing again that there is a God, and I do have things to give thanks to him for. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. That's the first words of this psalm. Literally, the Hebrew, if you just take it in like simple vernacular, it actually can read, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It's an expansive invite. And this is so different with other invitations that the world has, which has good news for only some of the earth, for only a select few people. Good news for people on one side of town, but not another side of town. Or other invitations where it's like, just come pay lip service to this thing or this person, but your heart can be anywhere else. How many things have you gone to where your heart's not really in it? I feel bad because a lot of times my wife has signed us up for things that we're going to, and it takes me a while to get my heart in it. I'm going, you know what I mean? But my heart and mind are anywhere else but the thing we're going to. And we grow accustomed to invitations like that. Like, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to like any of it, you know? Or shallow expressions of thanksgiving where it's so unserious, it's pointless. And sometimes I think the evangelical church, we struggle like with showing that we are just as excited about the God who made us and sought us. I went jogging around my college campus over Thanksgiving break. We were driving through, and I had to stop. I took a jog around campus. I was blown away just thinking on God's kindness to me to bring that Tony from all those years ago to this Tony today, where I'm, you know, 12 years later. I'm trying to run and I'm trying not to cry at the same time. Like, I remember I was in that with my old dorm room, and you know, this is where my old car broke down, and you know, this is where I got, you know, this is where, you know, I had to dump somebody, you know, and you figure all these pieces, and this is where I was totally not ready to go. You know, needed to be prepared for the things, the roles and responsibilities which God has given me today. And I say all that to say, it's not a shallow thanksgiving that we give. Lord, the heart should be moving. As this invitation from the Lord is so different. The gospel of Christ is good news of great joy for all people. God the Son took on flesh and was born as a baby. He came to earth. Jesus Christ grew up as a man. He came to the sick. This is no less, this is the Lord's expansive invitation is realized in the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the sick, he went to the dying, he went to the poor, he went to those who were forgotten, he sought out sinners, and he came to them with healing. He brought us hope, he called us to repent and to turn to him for forgiveness of sins, that sin is real, but so is mercy at the cross of Jesus Christ. Peter wrote of him in 1 Peter chapter 2 of Jesus that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. There's real forgiveness. There's a real future for any who will believe on Jesus Christ. And we who have believed in Jesus Christ, we have that real hope. We are caught up in this invitation now. This hope is ours. And we have a good news that will never be forgotten. And so this passage, this invitation in our hand is like spiritual jumper cables that come to the dead battery of our spiritual lives. And they show us, I have reason to give thanks to God. I can be saved through Jesus Christ from sin. I can know peace with God through the cross. I can know hope in the midst of trial and suffering. The Lord is perfecting me in the image of his Son. I can know the promise of him walking with me, of him being my God, as I learn new responsibilities, as I face new challenges in life. The scriptures come like a jumper cable, and it's jump-starting our lives to love the Lord and to labor for the Lord. And this invitation is also a means by which you can go to your family, to our friends, to our children. And we're literally, to use the car illustration, it's like we're jump-starting dead car batteries with cars off Satan's parking lot, and we're driving them, we're telling people, you need to change your spiritual location, and you need to drive off the world's parking lot and drive to Jesus' parking lot. And this is an invitation that can jump-start people to do so, to say, you have reasons to give thanks to God. So I ask you, have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ as God's invitation to you? Not just to me and not just to the person sitting on your right or on your left or someone else in your mind. Have you heard the gospel as God's invitation to you? Do you see that Jesus Christ is God? God has made his way to you in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can become your way to God. You have a God who saves and who satisfies. And I hope you see this morning that in God's invite to all, this is God's invitation to you in Jesus Christ. God has the ability to draw us to himself. But when he does that, you must make a decision to make Jesus Christ your Savior, to make him your Lord, to believe in his promises for you. This is the one invitation you cannot afford to miss. This is the one invitation that will change everything in your life in reconciling you to God. And for we who have believed in Christ, you know, the grace of Jesus this invitation can warm our heart for service to God. You know, sometimes we end up with what I like to call T-Rex arm Christianity. The defining characteristic of T-Rex's arms are what? They're super short, you know? That's always the funny thing. In Toy Story, they always like to pick on the T-Rex because his arms aren't big enough. Sometimes in Christianity, we get T-Rex arms where we're not really able to reach to God with much thanksgiving, or we're not really reaching out to others with much invitation to the Lord. And we need this passage of Scripture to remind us how far God has reached us in his Son, Jesus Christ, that we would reach back to him in love, that we would reach out to others, and that this Word of God would draw us out. If you find your Christianity a little deflated, this month, this year, this season? The answer is you need to reinflate it with the Christ who is calling to the world. If you find yourself riding on flat spiritual tires, I did a lot of driving this week. You look at some of the semis, you see them riding low, you're like, man, that truck is loaded down. That thing is heavy. Those tires look like they're about to go flat. And sometimes in our lives, we can't choose sometimes what kind of load we're carrying. Some seasons of life are heavier than others. And the answer is you can't just dump your life and what God has allowed into it. You have to inflate the tires with the bigness of the God whom you belong to. So I challenge us to consider, this is what the Lord's invitation is like, so how is your sharing of this invitation with others? Maybe you need more boldness as a Christian to tell others that they can shout for joy to the Lord as they consider the God who has come to them in the gospel. Maybe I need more broadness in my sharing. You know, a couple weeks back, we had the Republican primaries. You know, we had some of the big voting that took place in Ohio on some pretty pressing amendment issues. I'm sure you all are mindful of what issues were voted on a few weeks back. And as I watched the Republican presidential debates going back and forth between the candidates, and they were debating when life actually becomes viable in the womb, when it is, when it isn't, and people are debating on the stage what we know from the Bible, that life begins at conception. And I was moved to tears watching that. We're debating on national TV when we're going to choose when life begins and when life ends. And all I could do was cry out in prayer to God. I said, Father, have mercy on us. And, you know, Lord, preserve the life of the unborn. Lord, help us as a nation to pull together and figure this out. And I said, Lord, I don't know what your purpose is for me, what your purpose is for us in a culture that seems like everything just wants to be done with you. And would you know the way the Lord answered that prayer, across the next 2 days, I had three people come to me who I know but usually don't have a chance to speak with about Jesus Christ, sought me out, sat down at my table, and said, hey, I have a question about such and such passage from the Bible. And I figured you were the person I could ask this question to. And another guy that the church was doing some advertising with just asked a question and said, you know, how do you get right with God? I mean, total moments where you're like, this is the Lord answering prayers. And so I say this to say, it's good for us to stop and pray and say, God, how do you want me to be spiritually minded so I can be on a spiritual mission? Who do you want me to share this invitation with? Because the Lord doesn't need CNN. The Lord doesn't need the Republican presidential primaries. The Lord needs no Congress to advance his kingdom. We don't need to worry about what's happening in the world. We have Jesus Christ who came to the world and is calling people to himself. His invitation stands. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. As messengers, we've got to remember, we're told to carry this word to all the earth. So I say all that just by way of saying, be bold with the gospel and be broad with the gospel. Be broad with the gospel. Some of you are students. Some of you are still in school. I had never had more chances, I feel like, to share the gospel with others than when I was a high school student and when I waited tables. Interesting periods in my life, chances to just sow lots of seeds for the gospel. You have no idea how the Lord might water those seeds and grow them in his time. It's not for us to know. It's just for us to be faithful, carrying the mail of the Lord's invitation. So, I spent a lot of time on the first point. We'll try to move quickly through the last two. We receive the expansive invite to give thanks to the Lord. I want us to see that we also receive an enabling influence to give thanks to the Lord. Follow me here. Look at verse 3 now. The song continues, and they're singing the words to each other, and what they're telling each other is verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I find this encouraging because God's people are not simply to say, you know, you're so negative. You just need to become more thankful and get yourself going already, right? But I find it, the word of God is so encouraging because it's almost like it's saying, let me help you by showing you how you can grow in thankfulness. The expansive invite is all the earth. But do you see that the enabling influence is know the Lord? I'm going to repeat that because I want you to see it. The expansive invite is all the earth. But the enabling influence, how do you do this, is verse 3. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. That he's God. It's not simply collecting a matter of facts, but committing ourselves in faith to the Lord. And what are we to behold about him? Well, look in these verses. We're to know that he is God. He's the Lord. So he's the God who's revealed himself. Ultimately, we talked about this through Abraham to Israel, now in Jesus Christ. And when it says it is he who made us, the context here is those who, and bringing the whole Bible together as we sing this today, it is those who have believed in Jesus Christ. It's not speaking about being made in creation, because it's talking about the Lord who made us. And here it's in context being his people, being the sheep of his pasture. These are those who have believed in Jesus Christ. Today, this is all Christians. God has recreated us in his son, Jesus Christ, by the word of the gospel, the Spirit of God causing us to be born again, opening our eyes to Jesus Christ. So I want us to see this then as Christians. Only in knowing the Lord can you truly know yourself. Only in knowing the Lord. You see that in these verses. I didn't make that up. That sounds catchy, but I didn't make it up. Only in knowing the Lord can you know yourself. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us, and we're his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. A greater knowledge of the Lord will lead to a greater knowledge of yourself. A greater knowledge of the Lord will lead to a greater knowledge of yourself. That's actually pretty relevant. In case you haven't realized it, you live in a day and age that is full of trying to find ourselves. We're lost. We're not only disconnected from other people, we're lost from ourselves. And the way back is to know that the Lord, to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, he is God. And in knowing him, we can then know ourselves. Now, I just want to read, this is from the New Testament, it's from Romans 5, the first five verses. Look what happens when you know the Lord. You can turn there and just listen. Romans 5, therefore, Paul says, since we have been justified by faith, that's what we talked about, believing in this gospel of Christ, to be the guilty are cleared by the finished work of Jesus Christ, to have the righteousness of another. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's one thing we know. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I know I have access to God. I know I stand in grace. Next verse, and we rejoice in hope. I have hope in the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. We're knowing what God is doing in the midst of suffering. And then at the end of that passage, it says that God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is the enabling influence to give thanks to the Lord. We know all that he's given to us through Jesus, and we know his Spirit pouring his love into our hearts. We know by the Spirit testifying to us that I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Now contrast that with everything else you can try knowing in your life. You can try knowing a lot of self-effort. You can try knowing a lot of your own goals that you set for your life. It won't result in giving thanks to God. We can try to do a lot of knowing of ministry or a lot of knowing of doing things for others. We can try to do a lot of knowing of being a perfect parent. We say, you know what? I'm going to be the best parent there ever was. And we try to know perfection. We try to know OCD tendencies, like nothing is going to go wrong in my life today. And then, you know, by the first hour, it's gone wrong. We try to know a perfect control over things. Sometimes we just fall into wanting to know the gifts of God and success rather than the grace of God. The disciples did when 72 of them were sent out in the Gospels. Remember, they said, they were sent out to heal and to proclaim the gospel. They came back and they told Jesus, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Sometimes we fall into, we want to know success. We want to know gifts from God. And we don't want to know, well, grace from God. These are all other varieties, other things we try to choose, that we try to know well instead of knowing the Lord. Then there's other disabling influences, things that are not enabling, unbelief, not believing in God's word, fearfulness, the things we're afraid of and not bringing to the Lord. We know struggle, or sometimes we fall into thinking, I've been orphaned. God has left me. He's not going to help me in X, or he's not going to help me with Y. He doesn't see Z. Knowing those things cannot influence to give thanks to God. And you know, like a garden plant, The plants we grow in our gardens, they have to draw in sunlight in order to bear fruit. And if the plant's not growing, it's not knowing enough sunlight. The difference between two plants, one in shade and one in sun, one grows big and tall, the other one wilts and dies. In the same way, our hearts have to soak in the sunlight of knowing the Lord, or we won't be able to give thanks to Him. This invitation is not just a bunch of do this. It's an invitation to a relationship, to come know the Lord. If you try to be thankful to God without knowing Him, it's impossible. But you'll find that if and when you'll know God, it's impossible not to give thanks to Him. You'll find thankfulness overflowing. So, your knowledge of God is tested by your thanksgiving to Him. Your knowledge of God is tested by your thanksgiving to Him. We're first saved with knowing Jesus by faith, where we say, it's Him, it's Him, it's Him. We look to Jesus. But do you see that growing as a Christian, you have to continually be saying, I'm His, I'm His, I'm His, I belong to the Lord. So whose influence are you living under? And whose influence are you growing under? Maybe this passage today needs to meet you with assurance and say, you know, today I need to be assured in knowing the Lord that I know Jesus Christ and He knows me. And you need to take that assurance into your life, that it would produce the fruit of thanksgiving to God. Or maybe you need to advance in the fact that you are the Lord's. And you need to live like it for yourself. You need to live like it for others and advance in that influence. Maybe you're thinking, how can I increasingly live under this influence? So you have to get in the Word daily. You have to worship the Lord like we're doing here together. One of the primary ways we grow in knowing that the Lord is God is praying to Him day after day. Whenever we make a choice to not spend time with the Lord in prayer, you didn't just run out of time to do it. We made a choice to know something else in place of the Lord. And the warning from Scripture is it's not going to deliver on what is promised. And so we're told to know that the Lord is God. Again, verse 3. It's He who made us. We're His. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. We have to get to thinking of ourselves that way, that we could be what the Lord wants us to be. And we're equipped to tell others too. You know, sometimes when you're counseling others, we have to be speaking to others in such a way, not that they grow more in knowing you or knowing themselves, but that they grow to know more of the Lord. There comes a time when you're in a conversation, maybe with a family member or with someone else, and say, you know, I've talked to you a lot about me, and you've talked to me a lot about yourself and your problems, but it's time to talk about God and who He is. And that's when the conversation turns. So be careful that in your words to others, you're leading them to know the Lord. Not just you and not just your words, but to knowing the Lord. You'll find opportunities to do that. So this is the Lord's Thanksgiving invitation. I'll leave it there for now. I'll leave the third point for some other time. We've spent a lot of time considering the Lord's expansive invite and that enabling influence. So the invite is to all the earth, and the way we do that is by knowing the Lord. So pray with me. Let's ask that this invitation would be one that is received by us and then passed on to others. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this song given to us as Your invitation. Thank You that in the good news of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we have been reminded again today that thanksgiving is always possible. But Lord, we've also been challenged to see that thanksgiving is it's always proper. This is what's owed to You. So Lord, we pray that whatever our need is, each of us will be different from person to person. It may be some to turn to Christ for the first time. Not that He's just a Lord and a Savior, but that He would become someone's own Lord and someone's own Savior today. Lord, we also know that we just need to be reminded that this invitation can be passed on to others. And Lord, we pray that our eyes would open afresh to see that this is a song that is not just from You to us, but is supposed to be going from us to others. And we pray that You would help us to tell others that there is a God, and they do have the ability and reasons to give thanks to Him. And it's all coming to know your son Jesus first. So Lord, loosen our lips, extend our arms, and that we would reach out to others, but also bring an offering of thanksgiving to you. And we pray for these things in the name of Christ. Amen.